on maynard.com.au. Hey, you!
Mr. Madam Speaker, this is a good foundation upon which this budget will be built.
I'm just here to pick up Tim. Tim, as usual, the cat's watching Sky TV and you're watching along with it there. What are you watching?
Order, order. I'm watching Parliament live. I like to have the volume up right and loud. So, and of course, you can see from all of the speakers in my house that it's so I feel like I'm part of it.
What, have you run out of porn or something?
Oh, this is better than porn. I mean, look at Bronwyn Bishop. Just look it up.
And the children were very happy to see us. They were certainly smiling and...
Tim, if you're the Treasurer and you're saying that you were very welcome at a kindergarten, I don't know if that's so great a boast.
Well, certainly his math skills would fit right in. The Treasurer has spent most of the time with his angry eyes and his angry voice. He's not the same, you know, happy, lucky, chubby Joe Hockey that we used to love. He's the guy who's realised that he will never, ever be Prime Minister.
Just looking there in that shot, I can see four women of the Liberal Party that could be in the Cabinet. Why aren't they?
Well, they're not in the Cabinet because they're not any good.
Oh, okay.
And that's not me saying it. The Prime Minister has said you can only get into the LNP Cabinet by merit. So all of the women that we're looking at on the screen, even Sarah Henderson, who I do personally love and adore and have known for many years, are just no good. They're good local members, but you wouldn't put them in charge of the military.
Well, I think we should make our way over to the Frou Frou Cafe, and we've got some things to talk about.
It's time for
Bunga Bunga!
Episode 13 with
Tim Ferguson
and Maynard. That's me.
Hiya, Tim. How are you?
Oh, man, and I couldn't be better. I mean, I don't know if that's good or bad, but I certainly can't be any better. How about you?
I'm fine. Look, I was dancing. I was high as a kite dancing in the middle of a dance floor on Oxford Street just shortly ago, and then I remember, hang on, I was supposed to be here with you. I believe you've been guilty of the walk of shame on many occasions, Tim.
Oh, yeah, partly because if you've seen the way I walk, it just looks shameful. Swishing my hips everywhere. It's hard with only one high heel left. I'm walking like Cinderella on a jumpy castle.
On this episode of Bunga Bunga, episode 13, we've got pooping. We've got the sound of music. We've got Maynard's Money Shot Theatre, a new one. I think you're going to enjoy that, Tim.
I certainly want to see that, I think.
Tim's historical hypothetical, crank mail.
Crank mail.
MILF. That's music I'd like to forget.
Music I'd like to forget?
Music I'd like to forget.
That's good. I had an expression called PILF, which was Premier I'd like to forget.
We'll also be looking at Tinder, see if we can find ourselves a date as well a little bit later on the show, and just mucking around like you wouldn't believe. But first of all, at the top of the show, I'd like to thank Lindley, Daniel, John, Christy and Tony for contributing to my Patreon page that we've got started, which finances everything I'm doing, all the different shows, including Bunga Bunga. And thank them. If you would like to chip in just a dollar or two a month, you can go to patreon.com/Maynard and be part of it. Tim, I believe you've actually been donating some of your household furniture.
I have. Every month you get a different part of the couch.
Earlier there, you heard me in Tim's place where he was watching Parliament. Tim was also looking at the Crime Channel because Tim Ferguson has been implicated as the serial pooper of Ohio.
I'm sick of the lies. I'm sick of the accusation. I'm sick of the whispering. I have spent a lot of time by myself at night in Ohio, but I did not poop. Tell us about this pooper.
Tim Ferguson was the number one suspect. There has been a guy getting around Akron, Ohio, home of Devo. And also lots of tyre manufacturing goes on there as well. Apparently this guy has been pooping on at least 19 cars over the last 2 years, smearing excrement on the doorknobs, which is, that's the mark of an expert. And if the car's unlocked, getting inside and pooping in it. Do you think this is a personal vendetta gone a bit too far or some sort of scat fetish?
It could be a scat fetish. He could just be marking his territory. One thing I know from farming is you can always tell if there is a wombat on the farm or visiting your farm just by leaving a plank out at night. If you wake up the next day and there's a turd on it, it means that wombats are there. They are territorial. So they find this new thing, and the next thing you know, they're doing an Ohio.
Here's the photo of the guy there, Tim, as you can see, doing his business on the front of it. Could be a red late model Mercedes, but a guy has had enough of this. It's been 7 times on his daughter's car, I believe it has, and he's set up a camera and he's caught the guy. The thing is, that photo's been around now since the 11th of March and no one has identified the person.
Oh, I guess that's because he seems like such a nice guy. Mm. I mean, he's sort of smiling. There is a sort of tension and an effort to his expression, but he does seem like the kind of guy who would give you a bank loan, and yet...
Have you got any other theories to what it might be? Because, I mean, you were number one on the list, and this photo has finally got you off the hook.
Could be a performance artist. I've known a few artists who love doing that sort of thing.
One of the second and third biggest subjects were Paul Livingston and Paul McDermott, so they're not off the hook yet, because if you see the beanie, it could be a bit Livingston-ish.
It could be. It is a little bit strange-looking, baldy manny. There was a comedian called Malcolm Hardy, much loved in London, who one night down at the Tunnel venue was up doing his material. The crowd was being a bit rowdy, so he said, "All right, I'll take a dump then." So he took a dump in the corner, and that certainly silenced the crowd until they roared with applause. It was a pretty rough crowd at the Tunnel. Maybe he was just doing it to get applause from people like us.
Or some sort of bizarre performance art.
Let's hear a bit of applause for the pooper.
And let's hear a bit of music for the pooper, and we'll be back with Nazis and Tim Ferguson.
I like the distinction.
I'd like to forget.
I'm the Scat Man. Where's the scat man?
Who sadly is no longer with us. He holds, I think, the record for being one of the oldest number one performers on the German charts with that track.
Yes, he is one of the oldest number one performers on the German charts.
Bunga bunga! Bunga.
What is Double J doing playing that much reggae? I have to say, Doug Anthony All-Stars were on Miff Warhurst's tremendous show. She's such a great radio talent on Double J, and we had a great time with Miff. But straight after our interview, in which we pretty well burnt the place to the ground, they put on this like reggae. Reggae is not a thing. It's not a thing anymore.
Part of the reason why Jay and Campbell started one of the sister shows to ours, What Double J Should Sound Like.
What Double J Should Sound Like.
After you had interviewed the Doug Anthony All-Stars, wouldn't it be natural to play a song or a piece or something to do with the group you just interviewed, so that if people didn't know who they were, it might give it, what's the word, context?
Certainly the programmer, who is, you know, is just a 14-year-old kid at Double J. She's doing the best she can. She's got a limited number of songs she's allowed to play. I can understand it. I wasn't angry, but I was disappointed.
Also be asking why you guys weren't on Triple J as well. There's plenty of people who go to your show that are their audience.
You'd think so. The average audience age for Triple J is 40 or 41 now. Well, the average ABC TV viewer is the average age of 70, which is okay. Older people, you know, have to watch something and they're more interested in television than groovy internet people like us. Yeah, I don't know why Triple J haven't spoken to us yet. I think there's a certain amount of trepidation because it's not an easy interview. You get Paul McDermott, you get Paul Livingston and me. I mean,
That's why you employ people that can do that, Tim.
Well, you'd think so. I try to make it as clear as possible straight away that the interviewer's input is not necessary. And then you got Paul McDermott, who's got all his facts and figures, and then you got Paul Livingston, who only wants to complain about how he's being treated by the radio station, like this coffee's cold, that sort of thing. It's not an easy interview, so I imagine they're just a little bit nervous, but I entreat Triple J to get off their small, creaking, back-and-forth high horse and give us a bell, because the Doug Anthony All-Stars, I can assure them, are the coolest show in the country right now. We may be old, but that's just made us angrier.
And speaking of creaking furniture at night, we asked the small kid in the street what he thought of your shows at the Seymour Centre. Doesn't seem he liked them. How were those shows at the Seymour Centre in Sydney, which sadly I missed because I had an illness cloud?
We had a great time at the Seymour Centre, and, you know, they're the best shows the Doug Anthony All-Stars have ever done. That's what Paul McDermott said. Paul just might have been saying they're the best shows we've ever done.
He doesn't let himself off the hook easily. If he's enjoyed the show, it means he has genuinely thought it's the best show he's done, or he's been taking fucking drugs again.
It's hard to know, but the show, it's got a lot in it. You know, when people talk about comedy with layers, it not only has narrative layers, it's got thematic layers, and I do some of my best dancing ever. Very small.
In this international year of the Doug Anthony All-Stars.
Everybody gets laid, and I mean everybody.
That sting that you've used is getting people excited on Twitter. People want to know what that song is, and we are going to play it at the end of this episode of 13 Bunga Bunga, and you can hear it. And it's not... People think it's Village People. It's not.
Definitely not. And here we are sitting in Madame Frou Frou, the coolest cafe in the city of Sydney. Bunga Bunga!
The Sydney Opera House.
The Sydney Opera House, where you can get all of your opera.
Kill the rabbit, kill the rabbit, kill the rabbit.
The best performers, singers, musicians and bands from all around the world. But it also has a little difference.
Hey, do you like opera? Hey, do you like taking MDMA? Hey, do you hate drug dogs? Well, you'll love the Sydney Opera House, where drug dogs don't go.
You know, that's the thing. You can go and see the finest artists in the world, and there is an unspoken and now, well, iterated by us policy that you won't be sniffed at by a dog.
You may be sniffed at by some art critics, but the dogs will leave you completely alone.
Sydney Opera House, go get 'em.
Let's open the crank mail, Tim.
Crank mail, crank mail, crank mail.
Some of the crank mail here on Twitter, and we've got a few people reacting to my T-shirt that was the cover art for last Bunga Bunga 12, the photo of Bob Down. That seemed, I remember, that was Bob Down's 1990 season at the Edinburgh Festival. He was in a very large venue that year. Do you remember that?
Yes, that was where he had the Barry Gibb wig, which a little bit of length, not quite a mullet. I think some of the finest work Bob Down has ever done. Just hilarious. This was at the time when Bob Down was not yet aware that he was gay.
I think it sunk in by the end of that particular season. And that T-shirt you saw me wear has never been washed, and that was only the second time since 1990 I've actually worn it.
It was great being just near you while that happened.
In fact, I'd say Bob Down probably hasn't even got that T-shirt.
He probably hasn't. It was very hard to get. I tried to get that Bob Down T-shirt, but they're already gone.
The comment here from Moisten Chuss on Twitter is, I always wondered what happened to Bob Down, and now I know. He ended up on a shirt, perhaps many shirts.
I saw what you did there.
Say it, Paulie writes, what was that song you put in at the end of Bunga Bunga 12? Tim.
Yeah, what was that song? I guess we'll have to hear it again.
Why do the biggest assholes end up running the music world? Why do the biggest assholes end up running the music world?
Oh, well, it's a very good question. I'm not sure who recorded that.
Yeah. Well, in fact, I don't either. I just found that on a hard drive. I just know the track is called Let Me Ask. I thought it was Vince Jones. It's not. I think it's an Australian artist, but I don't know. It's just one of those songs I found, and I thought it was so good. Just because I didn't know what it was, I thought there's no point denying it from the Bunga Bunga audience, because they're hungry for knowledge.
Yeah,
because people would like to buy it. Katie Betts writes, she heard our last episode and she would like to be a sponsor of the show, but unfortunately she hasn't got any money. Well, look, there's a lot of that going around. I know I haven't got any. I think your wife is the one with the money in your relationship, isn't it, Tim?
Oh, yeah. Stephanie controls all things. And if I make money, I hand it over to her straight away.
Tim has a lot of kroner stuffed under his bed. I think that's a currency.
I can't say where it's from, apart from South Africa.
So, Katie, what I would suggest, if you haven't got any money and can't contribute to Patreon or buy a spot, just as they say on the No Agenda show, propagate the formula. Go out there and say, hey, have you heard of that Bunga Bunga show? Or send a couple of friends an email with a link to the show. Or just let your friends at work know that you think the show's funny. Don't oversell it. Don't say it's the funniest thing ever. Just mention, oh, I heard that on Bunga Bunga. And say it's something that you can't get anywhere else. And people will go,
wow.
Christy and Todd and Joe Alabaster and Heidi Robertson are all huge fans of the theme used for the International Year of the Doug Anthony All-Stars. That is impressive music.
It is. It just makes you want to get up and march. Mm. March up the street, turn around, march back down, get arrested, shake the bars of the divvy van. Then, of course, you know, call your mum and ask for money. But until that last step, it's great.
And again, that will be on the end of this episode. Tim, let's wrap up the Doug Anthony All-Star News. Any new shows, either in Australia or overseas?
Doug Anthony All-Stars are coming to Melbourne Comedy Festival. We're playing at the Yarraville Club. This is in Yarraville, a little-known place somewhere in Melbourne. And you might think, why? Why wouldn't the Doug Anthonys play at the Town Hall? And the answer is simple. It's because everybody else is playing at the Town Hall, and we've always been really antsy and prissy about doing our own thing.
Also, Yarraville's not really in Melbourne. Like, in fact, some people consider it part of Adelaide.
Yeah, it's part of Adelaide. You've got to cross the Westgate Bridge if you're on the wrong side, the dark side of Melbourne. We love the venue. It's a really good venue. We played there last year.
I was actually going to go to the Comedy Festival this year, but I did my, as they say in the business, financials, and discovered that unless I walked and didn't eat the entire time, I couldn't afford to go.
Well, you're the Cliff Young of comedy, Maynard, so it was worth a try.
Of course, go and see the Tizimoki show. Damien Cowell's doing a bit of a karaoke number there, and you never know what he's going to sing. Those and the Doug Anthonys, they're my three picks.
Wow, that's good. And Anne Edmonds. If you haven't seen Anne Edmonds, you just got to check her out. She is hilarious. Australian homegrown comedian. She was, I think, runner-up of Raw a couple of years back.
And another person you should check out at the Melbourne Comedy Festival is your friend and the presenter and star of the podcast Tea with Alice.
Oh, yeah, Alice Fraser. Wonderful stuff. Really smart comedy.
Mm. And I recommend having a listen to the Tea with Alice podcast. Tune over there. Very raw, hard-on-my-sleeve stuff, and she sits down in people's kitchen and has a cup of tea with them. Often they're comics, and usually they've got a great story to tell, and they usually do a bit of social deconstruction. Speaking of social deconstruction, I think we might be getting kicked out of the cafe here. Should we get going? You've got to head off now?
Yeah, we're changing security guards at the moment, my place. So it's been a bit awkward because they keep walking in.
I sent you a podcast, Coverville, the other day. Would you like to do a little promotion for Coverville? It was the Broadway Classics that I sent you.
Oh, yeah. Razzle Dazzle. As
by the Twisted Sister lead singer.
By the Twisted Sister lead singer as a sort of punk-esque number really works. Give me the old razzle dazzle. It's a really well-written song and they just bring a bit of to it.
Everyone loves
every week, Coverville does two shows for free. And if you're a subscriber, there's a third show that only subscribers get. Every week, there's two shows. There's always a theme based on someone's birthday or something like that. Coverville, go there. If you're into cover songs, you shouldn't really go anywhere else. But in that show, I was thinking, Tim, you know, I've always been looking all my life for a song that combines Nazis, lesbianism, taboo sexual practices, 80s production with Julie Andrews and The Sound of Music, and I think I've found it in this song.
Was it by Christa Berg?
Originally was going to be sung by Julie Andrews, but it just never happened, Tim.
It never happened. You'd think it would, but it didn't. I think there are some overtones to that particular rendition that I, as me, find very comforting.
And now it's time for a new segment here on Bunga Bunga, one that's been fully endorsed by all state and federal governments. It's Maynard's Money Shot Theatre. Pretty impressive theme, don't you think, Tim?
It certainly is.
One stage, we're actually going to get the transcripts of non-sex scenes from porn films, and Tim and I are going to do them and then compare them to the originals. We will do that, but we actually have a special request to do something. This comes from, on Twitter, liberal fascist, known as Koo, says, can you and Tim reenact the safari suit prank phone call that Maynard did years ago on his breakfast show? It was to a crappy Adelaide shop from memory. Well, in fact, that shop was, in fact, Harris Scarf, which was in Rundle Street. I don't think it's there. And the reason we can do this is because the transcript of that interview, where the tapes are, I don't know, but where the transcript of this interview is there. And as you'll see, Tim, there's a rather attractive ad for the news in Adelaide, Wednesday, November 7th, 1990, you could buy a safari suit for only $49 new.
The great thing about the safari suit is it's never been old-fashioned, it's never been new-fashioned. The safari suit is like Fashion Island. It stands alone.
And this is 1990. They're trying to sell safari suits. In fact, I'll read the copy of the Harris Scarf ad in the news, Wednesday, November 7th, 1990. We have made an interstate purchase of 200 safari suits. That's so specific, isn't it? Not 190, not 7, but 200. I think if you exchange the word interstate with mistake, we have made an interstate purchase of 200 safari suits, and these are going out at one low price. Wash and wear fabric, four pockets, colours grey or bone tonings, sizes 97 to 117, regular short fittings available. How about that, Tim?
It's worth spelling out the price of these safari suits, Maynard. I'll leave that up to you.
$49.
You can't get anything for $49, not even a pack of lollies these days. So, the safari suit.
So there you are at the counter of the safari suit store in Rundle Street, Harris Scarf. The phone rings, and on the end you hear a voice. That's Harris Scarf store, isn't it?
It is.
Good morning, I'm Maynard from radio station Triple J. I'm ringing about your big safari suit offer.
The what's that?
The safari suit offer. Could I speak to the safari suit department, please?
Yes. Was it in the catalogue?
Yes, it's the one that's going for $49.
Right. Look, I'll put you through to phone order. That may be quicker for you than the department.
Okay.
Hold on. Good morning, menswear.
Good morning. It's Maynard here from Triple J. Is that the safari suit department?
Yes, it is.
Oh, good. I couldn't help noticing your rather loud ad in the Adelaide Advertiser. Well, actually, was the news. How have they been selling?
Quite well.
Really? It doesn't surprise me. $49 is pretty cheap for a safari suit. Are these old ones you're trying to fob off, or are these new?
I beg your pardon?
Are these, like, old sort of safari suits you've had out the back for a couple of years?
No, they're not.
How many have you sold so far?
Quite a few.
And what sort of person is the average sort of safari suit buyer?
Well, this is the only one that we've had in stock.
What's more popular, the beige or the bone?
The bone we've sold quite a significant amount of.
Is there a typical customer that you say would be a safari suit buyer?
Probably a gentleman around the 50-year-old mark.
Carrying a bowls bag, perhaps?
Pardon?
Carrying a bowls bag?
Could be.
A lawn bowler. Very nice, too. Now, the ad says the safari suit is back. We all know that Harris Scarfe is ahead of the fashion in Adelaide by about 5 or 6 years. Do you think that the trendier stores will be getting any of these safari suits pretty soon, just to copy you?
Well, they could be.
Well, I hope you can move them. I mean, I think $49 is pretty good. I mean, you know, how many have you really sold?
Oh, over the 100 mark.
Over 100 safari suits. So there's like 100 people in Adelaide walking around with brand new safari suits on.
That's correct.
Now, you wouldn't want to give me a tip on whether beige or bone is really the colour to buy. I mean, what do you reckon? Go with my skin tone.
Oh, actually, they're both quite nice.
Do you think there's anything sexual about the whole safari suit thing?
I beg your pardon?
Do you know? Do you think there's anything sexual about the safari suit at all?
I think this call is a joke.
Took us a while to get there. Thanks for talking to us, and good luck selling your safari suits.
Goodbye.
Bye. I think that went rather well, Tim.
Maynard, I can't believe that you managed to keep a straight voice throughout that entire conversation. Was 100 safari suits?
You get that image when I say that there are 100 people in November 1990 who now have new safari suits in Adelaide, and the chances of them wanting to wear them all at once to a bowls gala or something is a high probability.
Yeah, definitely dads at Christmas are still wearing safari suits. In fact, hearing that whole conversation made me want a safari suit. It's got 4 pockets. You can't have enough pockets. We don't have handbags.
So if you've got something you think Tim and I should be performing, your favourite scene, favourite non-sexual scene from a porn film, from a movie, or something like that, let us know as part of Maynard's Money Shot Theatre.
And that's a great jingle.
Tim, people are wanting the ringtone of the cat with the machine gun firing at the bucket. These things are very difficult for us to put together, and we love it when you call for a sound effect solo. These things take me a lot of time to put together. And have you ever had to try and make a cat hold an AK-47? I know technically it's not a machine gun, it's an assault rifle. Tim, what are you going to call for as a sound effect solo on Bunga Bunga 13?
A dog barking at a clown on a unicycle. There you go. I didn't know you'd be able to come up with that, Maynard.
Is there a dog in the world that would not bark at a clown on a unicycle?
Well, that's true. Thank God the clown had music, otherwise you'd never know.
I reckon if you were having a bit of a vodka with Putin, which I'm sure he'd be a vodka drinker, probably not as good as Yeltsin used to be, but do you reckon he'd be an okay guy, or do you reckon the whole mafia vibe coming off him would be a little too dangerous to be in the same room with?
You can't become a world leader of that magnitude and not have a bit of charm. Apparently Stalin was charming. Hitler liked dogs. You know, these guys, no matter how evil they may be, a passable dinner-time company. They're interested in sport. They've got something else to say apart from wipe them out, all of them. Like billionaires.
Met Kerry Packer on a number of occasions. Anyone else you've met up that high?
Oh, and James as well. They're both very charming, interesting, you know, worldly gentlemen. They just happen to own a lot. Putin just happens to run a lot. But you can't do it without having charm and a sense of humour. Otherwise, people, they just don't like hanging around you at all. And Putin's got a sense of humour.
I think we'll ask a question of the audience now. This is one that you might know the answer to. What is my favourite line of dialogue from the movie Tank Girl. You've seen the movie, haven't you, with Laurie?
Oh, fantastic movie. And it's got a tank. And she's still going as an actress. I saw her in an American movie only a couple of years ago. Hmm. And she's still totally hot and totally angry looking.
Look, and if you know what my favourite line of dialogue is from Tank Girl, just one line of dialogue, send it in on Twitter, send it into our Bunga Bunga Facebook page, and you can win a copy of Maynard's Guide to DAG. No longer in print. It's already been remainded for $2, so no one else has got a copy of it there. I will send a copy of that out to you, and you can reenact endlessly with your family that conversation Tim and I did earlier in Maynard's Money Shot Theatre.
Wow. Even I want to know what line it was. There are so many lines in Tank Girl that it could be. The one where she says, hey, and the one where she says, the, a lot. If you do have a good guess, then you end up with your own Book of DAG.
I'll give you one clue. It's not spoken by her, and that's the only clue I'm giving you.
Man, you're hard. You're tough.
You're listening to Bunga Bunga 13. Of course, if you want to have anything to do with the show, we've got the Bunga Bunga Facebook page. You can contact Tim on Twitter.
At Real Tim Ferguson. R-E-A-L Tim Ferguson. Talk to me on Twitter. And I've just got so little in my life in the middle of the night, I may well tweet you back.
Let's have a look through Tinder and see who we can go out with, Tim.
What's going to happen now?
Oh, wow, we tried Gaydar, but that was only in our private time, and there was nobody, no one on Gaydar who was interested in a straight relationship. I don't understand that.
If you're going to pick up anyone, you've got to actually go to the Frou Frou Cafe, haven't you?
Cafe Madame Frou Frou, 381 Glee Point Road, has great coffee, great atmosphere, and is run by a guy called Manny, who is also great.
We'll set the distance to 50 kilometres and... here we go. Let's see what we get.
Is there a weight ratio on these things?
There you go.
Oh, dear.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Then again, this person does say, I'm not taking this very seriously at all. That's always a plus.
Well, yeah, you don't want them to take seriously. You don't want to be waking up in the morning and have them take you seriously. But seriously, people of Australia, men and women... get your act together. There's a reason why the only sex you can get is random, fast, and picked up from your telephone.
And she's gesturing towards a palm tree.
It's a bit like a game show lady pointing. She's indicating a palm tree. And who wouldn't, if you stand next to one, might as well make a virtue of it.
That's it. And there's no more people.
There are no more people on Tinder around us.
Within 50 kilometres, there's only 5 single women.
That makes sense.
And one of them likes a palm tree. And if I were her, I'd stay with the palm tree. Have you seen the kind of guys you meet on Tinder?
They've got lots of coconuts to give you.
If you're short of a few coconuts, here's a segment for you. It's time for Tim's Historical Hypothetical.
Don't expect too much.
That's right. We put Tim Ferguson in a pivotal place of Australian history, and he tells us how he would have handled it. Are you ready, Tim Ferguson?
I was born shortly after I was ready.
If you have been listening to previous episodes, Tim has been in the bunker at the end of World War II. Tim has been pivotal in the Rum Rebellion, where he was saved by his daughter's parasol.
Yep, Tim's been underground during the Blitz.
Today, it's World War I. It's the home front. The year is 1917. The place is Sydney. You are on your way to work. You are not involved in the Great War. And when this lovely lady on the tram comes towards you and smilingly and silently gives you a white feather, Tim, how do you react to this?
Well, I feel a little embarrassed because the white feather is telling me that I'm a conscientious objector, because she wouldn't be, because women weren't, you know, strong-armed into the armed forces at that stage. So she's basically telling me I look like an able-bodied man, and that just because I'm a greengrocer doesn't mean I shouldn't be over there at the front getting my head blown off with all those other nice young men.
Niceties of the time would probably prevent you from speaking ill of the lady, but if you had, what would you say to her?
Do you want cucumbers? Cucumbers going out the door. Dollar a bunner of cucumbers. I would have said that until I slunk off the tram. There were people who had to stay, and they were male. They had to stay in Australia, and not just for personal reasons. Someone had to do the jobs that were regarded as man jobs in those times.
And let's remind overseas listeners that conscription was not compulsory in Australia during the First World War. There were two very bitterly fought referendums over that very fact, and I think Australians are very proud of the fact that they volunteered to go if they wanted to go. I think you should pick a song from an album that I put out a little while ago, a compilation album called Maynard Puts His Music Where His Mouth Is. And on the front cover, there's a photo of me being given a spray tan by the winner of Lady to Ladette or Ladette to Lady, Kylie Booby, is giving me a spray tan there. Would you like to pick one of those songs, Tim?
I like the idea of Oh Fortuna. Is that the Karl Orff?
Yes, that Karl Orff, don't mention the unpleasantness in the 40s, Karl Orff, yes.
Yes, you could do with a bit more melodrama, this piece, but, you know, give it a go, it's very relaxing.
If you do have any ecstasy now and you aren't at the Opera House, just give it a go anyway and damn the drug dogs.
First time I heard this song was at the New Eden Club in Berlin, and I nearly fell over with ecstasy. By that I mean I had ecstasy and I nearly fell over.
Wow, that was so powerful that the cat has come from the bedroom, Tim, and Kittler, as you call it, is putting its scent all over me.
Kittler, the tallest, longest, largest cat in the world, has suddenly got a hard-on for Maynard.
I think he likes the rave sound.
It's like a baby lion in the house, and he does like the rave sound. I play a lot of rave music, and, well, he does what I do when I hear rave, and that's lick myself.
As the lick myself o'clock is approaching, I think it's time for me to go shortly. But as we know, Tim Ferguson's right of reply has become almost as important as B.A. Santa Maria's point of view. Now, there's a show. Let's just have a line from B.A. Santa Maria about homosexuals in the ABC. Take it away, Bob Santa Maria.
The public affairs programs of the ABC emerge as extreme left-wing in politics and as protagonists of aberrant sexual practices.
I believe you're the only member left of the National Civic Council, Tim Ferguson.
Yes, I'm the last one left. They were just so funny. Bob Santa Maria, always big with the comedy.
Senator Jack Kane, he could lay him in the aisles with the Democratic Labor Party.
And, of course, Bob Santa Maria was one of the mentors of Prime Minister Tony Abbott. Hard to tell from his comment we've just heard.
He was complaining that perhaps the ABC had a liberal bias.
The ABC, therefore, ought not to belong to any political party, to any intellectual current, whether of the left or the right, feminist, homosexual, lesbian, or traditionalist. It should not serve as the propaganda voice for any school of opinion, but in fact it does. Subsidies for sodomy.
This complaint has never been heard since, has it, Tim?
No, a liberal bias, really? I don't think the ABC is full of hard lefties. I think it's full of wetback half-lefties who mostly vote green sometimes because they just can't work out who they would vote for, and they would rather have a minority of voices in the parliament than actually elect a government.
So it's time for Tim Ferguson's right of reply. To somehow provoke Tim this week, I've attempted to provoke him by wearing my Morrissey T-shirt, because Morrissey's coming to town. What is your right of reply?
Morrissey, just step off, man. Morrissey is some singer from some band called the Johnsons. They were sort of big in the 80s, whatever that might mean. He's now touring, or is he, round the world, or is it, explaining to people occasionally through song how they should behave, how they should dance.
And never through dance. He never explains through dance.
He never explains through dance.
That's Howard Jones' job.
That's Howard Jones' job. He's playing at the Opera House, or is he? He has a couple of orders that he's given. He's clicked his heel and he has demanded that the Opera House not serve any food containing meat anytime he's in the building, anywhere in the building. He just wants people to either be drinking water or eating vegetables, just vegetables by themselves. You can imagine the horror and the farting. I mean, I wouldn't be sitting at the back in the top bleachers. You'd be getting all of it. Methane Morrissey. There's no way I will go to see this concert. The chances are Morrissey will walk on, someone will give a big methanous fart, and Morrissey will walk off. Hopefully that little kid will turn up to Morrissey and say, I'm not going to be told by some English dweeb who sings only one interval. Like a car alarm, how I'm supposed to behave, who I'm supposed to have sex with, what I'm supposed to eat, and what I'm supposed to wear. Morrissey, step off.
That has been Tim Ferguson's right of reply, whether you ask for it or not. We have to finish the show now with the song that people have been hanging on for. This is the one that we use as the theme for the International Year of the Doug Anthony All-Stars.
Too much!
It certainly is. Get to see the Doug Anthony All-Stars at Melbourne Comedy Festival, then Bendigo, then, I don't know, everywhere else. We're even playing Wagga. We are that reckless.
This track is not Village People. Good news. And if you can find this clip on YouTube, do so. It is just called Australia. I don't know why this band that probably never visited Australia did this song with a few factual errors involved. And they talk about surfing in Adelaide, which you can't kind of do, really. You've got to go outside of Adelaide.
Yeah, you've got to go out on the patio, we said. The great thing about this song is that it's so much easier to remember than the national anthem, which is not a very pleasant number.
It's easier to sing. It's in a better key. Good news, doing Australia. Let's all stand now for the... Well, except for you, Tim. Look, hang on, let's just all sit down then. Let's all sit down. It's Bunga Bunga.
So it's goodbye from Maynard.
And it's good night from Tim. We've scared the shit out of your cat.
Yeah, he was already having an emotional problem. Bunga Bunga!
on maynard.com.au.
Hey, you!